Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. God is good. Amen. If you would stand with me for the reading of the Word, if you are able to. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Amen. Don't you love shoveling snow in April? Amen. It's extra work with a two-year-old because you get it nice and clear and then they come behind you and unclear it for you. You have to redo it. We had fun this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We are going to talk about the topic, run with patience tonight. Run with patience. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Every year, when I was in middle school, there came the week of the fitness test. You know where I'm going. We had to do a bunch of tests to measure how physically fit we were, and running the mile was one of them. I can still, to this day, remember the course that we ran. My family lived in Germany at the time, and then I attended the American school there. And just for those who aren't visually good at things, which I'm not, so, and I had some time today. So if we can go to the next slide. This is the course, Phil's Mile Run. We started the mile by the gym, and there we go. PowerPoint, don't you love it? Went down the street where there was a complex where I believe it was the Marines lived, the Marines house, and then we took a right and went down a ways past the community church until we got to where the American grocery store was, and we took a right. Yep, there we go. And this was a long, hard stretch that wound through the American apartment buildings, and then we went past the elementary school. We kept going all the way past buildings, and yeah, it loops, oh yeah, and then comes down elementary school. This is like nightmarish. But anyways, and we finally got back to the middle and high school and back to the gym, to the finish line. So that's the route. That was my mile run as a middle schooler in Bonn, Germany. And for some kids, this was a chance to enjoy the outdoors, to get out of normal class and enjoy the fresh air. For me, an overweight middle schooler, it was torture. I hated the mile run. I dreaded the mile run. I had nightmares about the mile run. And you can see I still have it firmly ingrained in my brain, the mile run, and how horrible it was. Similarly, the writer of Hebrews describes our Christian journey as a race. We are running, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, and who we will see someday in heaven. That is our goal. That is our promise, amen? But this is not a physical race. It's not a group of people running to see who is the fastest and who can make it to the end first. It is a spiritual race where, as an individual, we are continually moving or growing in the Lord. We should know the Bible more today than we did 6 months ago. We should have more faith or more trust in the Lord than we did last year. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, so putting forth effort, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Amen. We should always be adding to our lives. We should be growing in our lives with Jesus. That is what the race is all about. Amen? There's no better time than the beginning of the year to reflect on how we are doing in that race. The month of January is the time of year when many folks set goals and what they want to accomplish in the coming year. And it is the time of year that as Christians, I believe we also should set out to continue to grow farther than we grew last year. But I would also say self-evaluation is an important tool to use in our self-growth, not just at the beginning of the year, but throughout the year. We should ask the Lord what area in our lives he wants us to focus on our efforts on in April, not just in January when we're all like, new year, new start. And then April is just like, oh, snow again. I got a shovel. And that's all we're thinking about. Please let there just be flowers and you know, rain instead of snow. No, but we should be taking time now to say, okay, hey, it's been 3 months. What have I actually done since I got all excited in January? Have I grown? Have I increased? What God, do you want me to focus on this month? And then we come back and reanalyze again how we're doing in another month. Paul says this in Philippians 3:14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's action to take. There's forward progress to be made. We are running a race. So we're running a race in Jesus, and as we discussed, it's about continually growing, continually moving. We must be committed for a long race. This is not a 100-meter sprint that will be over in 10 seconds. My case, a little longer than 10 seconds. Not too much longer, but where we just have to put a burst of effort in and then we're done. We must put forth effort over time. Over time. The Bible describes it like this in Matthew 24:13. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. It's not he who just gets off the blocks and just, man, going gung-ho for 6 months is going to be, shall be saved. No, it's endurance. There's an endurance piece, an aspect. We must have endurance. And so this takes me back to my days running the mile and all the problems I had. It's kind of annoying they didn't measure the mile in fourth and fifth grade when I was like the second fastest kid in my class and really, you know, fit and trim. And no, they had to wait until I came back to Europe after traveling with my parents around the U.S., going from like feta cheese and gyros and all the good stuff that was super picky, so I didn't eat anything. Coming to the States and traveling every day in a car, going to church and eating grilled cheese at Shoney's because that's all I liked as a kid. And so you can imagine the result. Well, they, you know, now it's measuring the mile, and it's like, thanks. It's not fun. But imagine in your mind a chubby 13-year-old. Don't look at me like that. Like trying to No, a 13-year-old. A chubby 13-year-old, Phil. And early on in the mile, the first problem I faced was running out of breath.
Amen.
I remember my wife was pulling out. She was about a quarter mile from our apartment over in Sun Prairie by the Perry Athletic Club, and a guy just pulled out of his parking spot and nailed her. And she called all frantic. I'm like, I'm going to go save the day. We only had one car. And so I ran. And, man, I got to my wife, and there's a couple neighbors that have come out or, some couple people, and they look at this guy coming up, and they're like, sir, literally, they asked me if I needed an ambulance. I'm like, no, just a second. I'm here to help my wife. I'm okay. So I still struggle with running out of breath a little bit. And then that side pain. Oh, 13-year-old. You know, then my mind would begin to fight against me. You can't do this, Phil. You can't finish this mile. You are running so slow, you might as well just walk. The goal was to run the whole way, but ultimately I would finally give in and start walking. And that was the worst. Because once you stopped running, it was so very hard to start again. But I'd eventually do it. And, you know, be a little gracious with me running, in quotes, okay? It was my version of running. Someone probably could walk faster than I ran. But anyways, it's the same in our lives with Jesus. We get going in this spiritual race, and boom, we may have a time where we get out of breath spiritually. or we have a pain hit us in our lives. We're making progress, but then we make a mistake and we slow down to a walk. There are pressures we will face. There are mistakes we will make. There will be roadblocks we have to cross over in our race with the Lord. The question is, how will we respond to those? Will we continue on despite the problems we face, or will we quit the race? Peter faced this exact scenario. Jesus was talking to his disciples, told them there are going to be some hard times ahead and that some people would abandon the cause. And Peter responded this way, and only, you know, the way he did in Matthew 26, 33 through 34. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Something about the name Peter. Jesus said to him, "Surely I say," I can see Peter standing saying that, like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Surely I say to you that this night before the rooster crows," this is Jesus talking, "you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so, and I'm sure that's how he's talking, like, "No way, God, I'm not going to do it." And so said all the disciples. If you read the story, Peter does, in fact, as many of us know, he does deny Jesus three times that very night. This is Peter, the one who had faith enough to step out of the boat and walk on water. This is Peter who got the revelation that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Peter was running the race, one of the inner circle of three disciples that were closest to Jesus. And he makes a tremendous mistake and ends up denying Jesus. What was Peter's response? We find him a few weeks later standing tall on the day of Pentecost after he and the group in the upper room had just received the Holy Ghost in chapter 2, verse 14 of Acts. And it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" At the end of this, his very first sermon, 3,000 people responded and turned to Jesus in their lives. Peter did not let his failures define him. He didn't let them stop him. He kept on going. So I'm out of breath. Side is hurting. Sweat is pouring down. And I'm about halfway done, and then I see it. If you would go to the next slide. Oh, there's my mile run. So it's by that big block of apartment buildings. And mind you, if inside of that, there's apartment buildings and stuff like that. But then I see it, and if you could just click one more time. Yeah. You know what that is. It's a walking path through the, like, buildings and through the, you know, nice grassy area and trees everywhere. And the path that cuts through all the apartment buildings. The path that comes out down the street from the finish line, far enough that the recorders of the mile can't see you. The path that cuts out the final loop through the housing and cuts out the section in front of the elementary school. Probably about a fourth of the mile it cuts out. For a kid who hated the process of the 1 mile run, that shortcut was a big temptation. Now, I have a horrible memory. I want to say I did it once and got busted, but I really don't remember. So we'll make it up and say I did, but I don't know if I did. I may have just been a great Christian and didn't fall to the temptation, didn't cheat, but I don't know. So we'll leave that up to the Lord. I probably repented. If I didn't, sorry, God. So it's our run with the same thing with the Lord. We will face the temptation of taking a shortcut. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, this is the message. It says, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do the way do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention." If we look back to our earlier reference in 1 Peter 1, the Bible lays it out as if there's a progressive growth pattern. Add to this, this, and add to that, this, and add to that, this. Elsewhere, the Bible says line upon line, here a little, there a little. It is not a just choose whatever you want and just boom, go for that. No, there is a progression. So what's the danger of shortcuts? An interesting thing happened this past week here at Calvary Gospel Church, we replaced the, very interesting, I mean, this is exciting, we replaced the soap dispensers in the ladies' room over by the kitchen. All right. Yeah, now they all use Gojo brand. It's really cool that we don't have two brands of soaps. It's phenomenal. I mean, this is exciting stuff, you know. How those work is they connect to the mirror with an adhesive pad. So you take the, like, whatever layer off, and then you stick it and you hold it, and then, you know, it sticks to the mirror. It's pretty amazing. Well, if you happen to visit the ladies' restroom this Sunday, on Easter Sunday, one of the dispensers fell off. Yeah. Poor Sarah had no soap to wash her hands with. Well, there was a second one, so you're okay. Well, that second one fell off in the last 2 days. And we didn't take the time to remove the old adhesive and get a clean, fresh surface to adhere the new dispenser on to. No. Can you guess what happened? Yeah, they didn't stick, and they both fell off. Instead of taking that extra time to razor blade the old stuff off, get all the old adhesive removed, we took the shortcut. And I'm saying we because I don't want to throw any particular person, oh, he's not up here anymore, under the bus. But we did not take the extra time, and he knows I was going to razz on him tonight. But our efforts ultimately failed. Now, we've gone back, we've cleaned up the old adhesive, and we've had to order new dispensers, extra cost. I'm sorry, folks. If you can make a donation to the offering, that'd be great. Tease it. But we'll install them fresh and new, and you know what? They're going to stick in Jesus' name. We can't skip over what God is laying on our hearts to correct, the path he's wanting us to go down, or the position he wants us to fill this in this season of life. It's like the individual a few years back, I don't know if you heard this, but someone turned a ministry application in to be the bishop. Needless to say, they did not get accepted as the bishop, but it's like, I'm there. I'm ready. I'm ready for the bishop. And this is not someone who normally attends church, so don't look at your neighbor and ask them if it was them. It's not how it works. We may say, I don't need to work on this area of my life. It's tied into my personality. That's who I am. God gets it. Or I don't need to get a grasp on the concept of a servant. I'm ready to preach now. Just preach to the masses. There's a danger in taking the shortcut. We may have to go through that lesson all over again. And there may be cost associated with it. All that, oh, I'm just going to slap it on. Just going to just move on. And let's just, boom, Band-Aid on. Just gloss that over. Or, you know what, yeah, that's a really kind of extreme side of my personality. But you know what, I'm just going to ignore it, shove it down, close the door. Yeah, God, you're not that interested in helping me grow. Or that's okay. It's just who I, part of me. And you know what, it's going to potentially come full circle. That shortcut that you tried, you're going to face the same, maybe, test that you want to skip over. Amen. There's a danger in taking the shortcut. Another danger with shortcuts is this, running the mile. I knew the path. I knew where the route was going. I knew that if I went through the shortcut, but that's not how it is in our walk with Jesus. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises, or a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. If we see a shortcut and consider taking it, we're making a big assumption on where God is leading us. We don't know where the mile is ending. Again, this is not just the mile. It's an endurance all the way to the end. And so we may see around the corner, around the bend and say, oh, yeah, that's where he's leading me. You know what? I'm going to cut across here because, hey, that's a quicker way to where I see God leading. Well, what if right around the corner he says, oh, yep, My ultimate will is for you to go around the corner and then, oh, take another loop. And what happens if we take the shortcut? We're way off of track, and we have no idea where God is really wanting us to go at that point because we have just tried to skip ahead. Amen. We've got to let God be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. We've got to just run ahead. God, where's the next step? Where are we going? Don't take the shortcut. And by the way, when a chubby kid who runs 11-minute, 12-minute mile comes in at 8 minutes flat, randomly one day, yeah, the gym teacher knew. The gym teacher knows, yeah, you just didn't get that much faster. It's the same with us. It'll be evident in our lives. Folks will know if we take shortcuts. Put yourself hand to the plow. Go forward. The question that comes to mind is, how do we keep running the race like Peter did? When we let our anger get out of control again, how do we keep running? When we fall into the same temptation that we've determined in our life to overcome, how do we just keep running? When we don't read our Bible or pray for a few days or a whole week, or how do we keep running? How do we avoid those shortcut temptations that pop up in our lives? The enemy will try and tell us that we shouldn't keep running, that we have to be perfect, and that we might as well give up and quit the race. The Bible does talk about being perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The scripture speaks to us about striving for growing in God until we are complete or whole in him. Not that we have to be perfect here on earth, because no one's ever going to be perfect on this earth. But we can get to a place of completion and wholeness in him, and we continue to grow. The enemy likes to twist the scripture, and he lies to us saying, see, you yelled at your family again. You're not absolutely perfect like the scripture says you have to be. Just give up. There's no hope for you. You've got to be perfect to live for God. But I'm here tonight. That's a lie from the enemy. How do we become perfect? Let's see what James says in James chapter 1. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When we face struggles, it will work patience in our lives. And when patience works in our lives, we may be perfect or complete or whole in Jesus. Interesting that patience is also found in James. Why? What was our opening scripture? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As I was thinking about this message, this concept about running with patience, the word patience in the scripture stuck out to me. And in this context, it speaks to endurance, speaks to running a long race. You must endure. You must keep going. But the Lord spoke to my heart that there must also be patience in our race, and that patience is patience with ourselves. Not only does the enemy use perfection against us, but we use it against ourselves. We look at our leaders like Pastor Roy, Pastor Seidel, Bishop, and say, oh, they're such good men. I could never be as close to Jesus as they are. So why try? Or when we are trying to grow in an area, but we continue to make mistakes, it's easy to give up on ourselves. But we must have patience with ourselves. I don't look back to middle school and the mile run and have fond memories. It made me feel really poorly about myself and how horribly out of shape as a little middle schooler I was, and how much better the other kids were. And it's like, you know, you just dream, oh, I wish I was in fourth grade. I was the second fastest kid. Second fastest. But can I tell you that despite the pain, the hate, my hatred for the mile run, despite how out of breath I got, despite the pain in my sides, despite how many times I ended up walking partway, I always finished. Looking back, there was never one time that I said, I can't do this, I'm done. I finished 100% of the time. There are going to be times in our a spiritual race when we're out of breath, when we have pain in our sides, when we want to quit, when we stumble along the way, when we walk instead of run. But if we have patience with ourselves and just keep going, we're going to keep moving forward. And we will finish the race someday. Think about it. This is not a race full of competitors that we are trying to beat. It's like the mile run. You're the only one running. So whether you finish in 3 minutes, 43 seconds, which is the world record, or we take 15 minutes to run the mile, we've accomplished the goal if we keep going. if we keep running? Does this mean we allow anger or temptation or struggles in our lives and just say, well, you know, as long as I just, no, we, but if we mess up, we should get on our knees, commit that area once again to God, and keep going. My wife read a devotion a few months back, and I wanted to share the concept with you. She shared it with me. It was entitled Imperfect Progress. The devotion says this: imperfect changes are slow steps of progress wrapped in grace. Imperfect progress. Progress. Just make progress. It's okay to have setbacks and need do-overs. It's okay to draw a line in the sand and start over again and again. Just make sure you're moving the line forward. Move forward. Take baby steps, but at least take steps that keep you from being stuck. Then change will come, and it will be good. Amen. Such a powerful thought. Just because we make mistakes, just because we have to get on our knees and repent once again and commit to living a holy, separated life, does not mean that we aren't making progress. We might fail the test over and over, but we've got to keep going. If we're committed to the race and to our growth, we'll learn each time. We'll grow each time. And then someday we're going to look back at the situation and say, wow, I just realized I don't even struggle with that anymore. I'm making the right choices without even thinking now. Whereas, man, for 10 years, I've struggled with it. Oh, man, wow, I just made the right choice without even thinking. If we make it's that imperfect progress in our lives, the patience that will help us endure to the end. Amen. You would stand with me. I love the inspiration in the next few scriptures. Proverbs 24 says, "Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place, for a righteous man may fall 7 times, and he's going to rise again." The writer is saying, don't even bother coming against a righteous man. He's in that position because when he's knocked down, he's just going to get right back up. We've got to have a bounce back attitude, like one of those things, those clown things that you punch and it's just, oh yeah, it's down and then it's right back up. Yeah, I got hit again. Man, I let my temper go, or man, I did that, or man, I responded harshly again. Or man, I just, went to there again, got tempted, hung out with those same friends again. But you know what? You just keep going. Keep getting back up. Say, you know what? Okay, God, what is it inside of me that's causing that? That's where the self-reflection is so valuable. You know, some things that, there are things that we grew up with or our family. There's a book, Emotionally Healthy Leader, and it talks about our family, our family life. I forget the terminology they use, but basically really taking time to explore your parents, your grandparents, and how they reacted to things. You know, for example, I actually get stressed out going shopping for clothes as a 39-year-old. I get stressed. Why? Because as a child, I never was given that opportunity to decide what I wanted to wear. Because there was a sense, I love my mom to death. This is nothing against my mom, but she wanted our lives to be perfect and us to face no struggles at all. Why? Because she grew up in a home where her dad left her at 4 or 5. As a teenager, her mom, and this is back in the day when, I've maybe mentioned this before, that, you kind of, when there's mental issues, you just shut people up. You didn't really, there wasn't the resources. And so her mom dealt with schizophrenia and bipolar, and they kind of just shut her up. And so my mom, as a teenager, dealt with my grandma until she had to go into a facility. And so my mom's childhood was, and so I tracked that back. And yeah, it's silly, the clothes, not a big deal. But I began to look at that in myself and say, okay, where are the other areas that I struggle to make decisions? And that's something I've had to reflect. And every single one of us have situations in our lives based on our past. And again, it's not a bashing the parent or the grandparent, or it's just how we were raised. But it's so important to reflect and say, how is this What is this triggering in my life? Instead of saying, oh man, I just, you know, slammed the door again and just stormed out of the house again. And I keep saying anger. I don't know why I keep talking about anger tonight. But maybe there's something that's triggering you. And instead of saying, oh God, I'm so sorry, anger, help me, and that's it. Maybe you just need to start to reflect and say, God, show me. He's a mighty counselor. Counselor is someone who sits with you, talks about your past, and helps you figure out why you do the things you do. God is a counselor. So yes, I'm all for Christian counseling in the professional industry. But man, there's a time where once God just opened my eyes to something. And I was just like, no way, that's why I'm doing this? And it was just like boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh. And it just really helped me. And so there's some reflection. I feel like when we bounce back, we want to bounce back. It's not just, I'm not going to do this, and just willpower. No, it's, okay, God, what is triggering this? How can I grow? How can I continue to draw another line in the sand after I learn something new? And I'm going to keep going. Micah 7:8 says, rejoice. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. That's the bounce back attitude we should have. Are you running the Christian race today? If not, I encourage you to start running. God has a life of blessing for you. You don't have to be perfect to start running. You just have to start running a different direction than you are now. It's called repentance, turning away from the things of this world and focusing your attention, running toward Jesus. You can be baptized in Jesus' name, all your sins washed away, and you'll have a fresh start. And He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight, if that's you, to help you through life. Are you running but have some pain or some situations that have risen in your life that have caused you to slow down? Do you have areas in your life that you know you need to grow, but you've delayed facing them? Have patience with yourself. And just keep going. Is there a shortcut that you know you've taken? Maybe you just need to backtrack and say, okay, God, let me get back to where I was and start again. Scrape off that adhesive. Get a fresh surface so I can just get stuck on you and not move. If you've fallen or stumbled, get back up tonight. Keep going. Keep going. Church, we need to run with patience. Run with patience. As the praise team begins to sing, I want to encourage, this is a time of reflection tonight. I don't know where each one of us are at and which one of these applies to each one of us. And maybe it is just that whole family thing was not in my notes. And maybe that was someone for someone tonight. That you need to start analyzing yourself and saying, God, what is the true root cause that is triggering these things? Why? So that I can grow. If you're tired of things that you keep going back to, maybe you need to do a little deeper reflection and say, God, what is it that's triggering it? So that I can grow, so that I can move forward, that I can take a step. Won't you come to this front area and let's talk to the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need a healing in your body, we don't want to discount that. We believe in a God who can heal. Just come on up. We'll pray with you and anoint you with oil and believe for your healing. Let's come and reflect on our run with the Lord tonight. Okay.